are good. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's turn to those around us and share a sign of God's peace. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you, Abby. Peace be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Peace of the Lord. Peace be with you, Bob. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you, James. Peace be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Yes. You want to shake hands? Say hello. Peace be with you.
Can you say hello?
Hiya. Have a nice time. Bye-bye. Okay, when you've shared the peace with the children, then please do move to your groups. Are you able just to play something whilst they're going on? That'd be great. Wonderful words, aren't they, from Isaiah that we have at Christmas time, where he looks to the future and says, in his mind's eye, he can see God's purposes being worked through. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. All the rule of the world will be governed by Christ for justice and peace. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So this is the God to whom we come, whose desire is to give that gift of peace. And through the cross makes it possible for us to find that forgiveness and reconciliation, first with God and then with each other. And it's not only that personal sense of peace that God longs for. It's that sense of peace, wholeness, shalom, healing for the whole of the world. And we're conscious of the desperate state of our world. This evening's program on the Earthshot Prize, I'd encourage all of us to watch that, as we are reminded of the amazing inspiration that people are being given in the face of the needs or in this climate crisis, to see God's world made whole again, made healed, and shalom being exercised across the world. And so in our confession, we're going to recognize that we've played a part in the unpeace of this world. And we pray that God would bring his shalom, his healing, not only to us, but also to the world in which he has given us as gift to steward. So let's be still for a moment. Lord, you have given us a world of beauty, and we have spoilt it. A world to feed us, and so many go hungry. A world of riches, and we are unwilling to share. A world to care for, and we think only of ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, for those times your heart is saddened by our selfishness, for those times we have no thought for others, no cares but ours. Enable us to see this world anew as a gift from you to be shared and nurtured, and those who live upon it to be loved and cared for. God of unconditional love, free us from our sins and make us whole again. Thank you that it is by the coming of Christ as Savior that peace is known. May we be always overflowing with praise for this most precious gift, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we move into some sung worship, we're just going to be reminded that Jesus invites us to taste that which truly satisfies us, and to have our thirst and our hunger met in him, as we pray that he might come among us afresh with his love and power. Let's stand together.
Your goodness is running out of me. goodness of God.
Yes, Lord, we hear afresh those words from the psalm where David was able to express that hope and rejoicing in your goodness, cried out, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall run after me all the days of my life." Every single day, without exception, I'm sure, Lord, that goodness is running after me. And your mercy that forgives and heals and gives me a new start every day. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God, in the assurance of his company with me, his friendship, his arm around me, his embrace of me. Shall dwell in that place, not only now, but forevermore. Lord, fill us afresh, we pray, with that hope and with that sense of peace as we face whatever this week brings. May we always know your love, mercy running after us, dwelling in your presence, saying, "Peace be with you. My peace, not as the world gives," says Jesus, "do I give to you. My peace I give to you. My peace I share with you." Hallelujah. Amen. Do please be seated. Thanks, guys. Just before Joan comes and brings God's word to us, and then we hear from Judith as she makes that real to us and relevant in our daily lives, I just wanted to bring something that was a treasure for me after the quiet morning that many of us had here yesterday. Paul Hunt led, and it was full of treasure, full of gifts to receive. And the main gift that I received were these words from Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, where he said, as we approach God's word or in worship or whatever we're doing, listen for a word that creates a present encounter. Listen for a word that creates a present encounter. I think that's a very, very powerful thing to do for us as we come now to hear God's word. Not only may we hear it, but may we listen. And there may be one phrase or something that stands out to you, or an image that is conjured up in these readings, maybe of the lion and the lamb, a little child leading them, or whatever it might be, that we can hold on to and enable that to be a place where God encounters us in the deepest parts of our hearts. And you may not hear anything else, but just hold on to that one thing that this morning God is giving you as gift. So listen for a word that creates a present encounter. Let's hear those readings from Isaiah and then from Romans. Thank you, James.
So in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, it'll find it in the Pew Bibles on page 697. 697. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And then the reading from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13, is on page 1141. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Again it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his peoples. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, the one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Well, can you believe it? We're nearly at the end of 2022. I suspect we're going to have pretty mixed feelings looking back on it, aren't we? It's not been the best of years in some ways. And in a few weeks' time, I'm sure we're going to have those compilations on the television and in the media of what happened in 2022 as we look to the new year. And I think we can anticipate some of the things that they're going to be thinking about. The seemingly revolving door in and out of 10 Downing Street. Ukraine. Who would have thought that a year ago, that we would have seen what we have in the Ukrainian invasion? And inflation and strikes and the price of petrol, which seems to be coming down a lot slower than it went up, doesn't it? But for many of us, I'm sure that 2022 will be the year that the Queen passed away. And it's been really interesting as I've looked back over some of the tributes, some of the things that other world leaders said. They very much focused on who she was and who she meant, what she meant to them as a person. And there are words like duty, responsibility, kindness, constancy, faith. You know, who she was as a person. And in our passage in Isaiah, which is the one I'm going to be mainly focusing on, you might want to have it open. Isaiah is also looking back at a past king. Because when he refers to the root of Jesse, and the stump of Jesse, he's thinking about Jesse's son, the great King David, and the monarchs who followed him. So he's looking back to a time that is past. And in a time that was also very, very difficult for them. To give you a little bit of context, at this time when Isaiah was speaking, the country of Judah was under the threat of invasion by the Assyrians, rather like the Ukrainians have known. The Assyrians were a military race. They were ruthless. They were highly efficient warriors. They were known to be intensely cruel. And so there was deep fear that they were threatening the borders. And they made some pretty bad political choices as well, which possibly resonates with us a little as well. Because their king, who was definitely not in the mould of the great King David, had tried to strike a deal with the Assyrians. He had lumbered the country with a massive monetary tribute that they had to pay. And he was possibly taken on some pagan practices as well to try and pacify these aggressive neighbours. So difficult times. And Isaiah, really, when he talks about the stump of Jesse, he's predicting the total failure of the monarchy. The monarchy, that line of King David, is just going to be cut off. And it's going to be seemingly dead, just like a stump might be. So here's David in all his glory, and here is what the monarchy seems to have become. But then, in these verses also, Isaiah is really hopeful in all this terrible time. He's looking forward to the promise of a new king, a king who will come from the line of David, and is also looking to a world that's going to be very, very different. It's going to be a king who's even greater than David, and a king of more than just Jerusalem, as that reading in Romans reminds us, a king for the non-Jewish world as well. You know, Isaiah didn't know, I'm sure, when he was preaching, prophesying, how long this was going to come into fruition. He was probably prophesying about 740 BC. So from then until the time of Jesus, roughly 740 years, is the same length of time as it is from us, from the 1280s. I wonder if anyone knows what was happening in 1280 in England. Well, I can tell you a little bit if you Google it. Edward I was king and he was busy conquering Wales. That is how big a gap of time there was that the people of Israel had to wait for this prophecy to come true. And you know, even Isaiah found it difficult. If you look at chapter 45, verse 15, he says, "Truly, you are a God who hides himself." And this amazing prophet who seems to have a hotline to God, even he struggled sometimes with this feeling that God was distant. Or how about chapter 64, verse 1? "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down," he says. Can you just Can you just come to us? Can you tear open the heavens, tear open that barrier between you and us and come down? And it's just so wonderful that as we're moving towards Christmas, in this time of Advent, that we remember the time when the heavens were torn open, when an angelic choir flooded through and told us God is with you, God has come to you, God has been born, and nothing is going to be the same again. I'm just going to touch very, very briefly on verses 2 to 4, where we have this picture of what the ideal king is going to look like. A king who has the Spirit on him from God himself, not anointed by a human like David was. He was anointed by Samuel, anointed by God himself. And it's really interesting what Isaiah says this ideal king's going to be like. You might have expected they were going to have another great military king like David who had sought out the Assyrians for them. That's not mentioned, is it? And that's how the Jews of Jesus' time got it wrong as well. They wanted a king who was going to sort out the Romans. They might have thought of a king who was going to build Jerusalem and put up splendid palaces and rebuild the temple. Not mentioned. The ideal king, God says through Isaiah, is somebody who has a character like mine. Is somebody who knows me and loves me and respects me. I do think it's perhaps timely for us to remember, though, as we come up towards Christmas, that we're not just remembering a baby who came, but Jesus, the Almighty King, who is seated at God's right hand, dispensing wisdom, justice, power. You know, as we sung in that song, if we could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, that is the God who came to us. So God gave that king when Jesus came. But I think we see three other things that he gives us, and I'm just going to touch briefly on those. Firstly, this little stump shooting out, we see that God gives love. And again, we sung of it. You know, the choice of songs was perhaps inspired. It was great. We did. We sung, didn't we, of God's love through Jesus. That stump that we read about represents failure at a human level. The failure of the monarchy to be the kind of kings that God wanted. But we've got other stumps in Isaiah as well. If you turn back to Isaiah 6, in verse 13, it talks about the whole people of Israel as a stump. There are people who have failed to live up to God's expectations. They failed to have that relationship that he wanted. But what's God's response? Well, in Isaiah and all the books of the prophets, his response is never to give up, never to stop loving. A few years ago, I decided to read the Bible not from cover to cover, but in chronological order. And it's quite good to start with. You have Genesis and Exodus, and there's all the story of Egypt, and it's quite exciting, and then you get into the kings, and then you hit the prophets. And I was reading them for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's about 20% of the Bible. And I have to admit, it's hard going because a lot of it is doom and gloom. But what I began to see after a while was a pattern. And you'd read a chapter and it'd be God saying, right, that's it. I've had enough. I've had enough of your sin. I've had enough of your faithlessness. I'm going to send you into exile. But I'm going to give you one more chance. And then the next chapter would be, right, that's it, I've really had enough of you, I'm fed up with your sin, I'm fed up with your faith, I'm going to send you into, oh, one more chance. And that was it, again and again and again, one more chance, one more chance, one more chance. And it's God, and as I read the Bible in that way, God's love came through. He never gives up on us, does he? He never stops loving. Secondly, then, as we've talked about today, and as we read in that Romans passage, God gives hope. The people of Isaiah's time, the people when the Bible was being compiled, probably after the exile, The people of Jesus' time, they held on to that hope that that shoot was going to spring. There was going to be that new king. There was going to be a new hope and a new relationship with God. It's interesting, it's not the only time in the Bible we hear about a shoot coming out of something that's seemingly dead. In Numbers 16, Moses is looking for somebody to take on a position of leadership, and he's told, God tells him, have the leaders bring their staffs and leave them in my tent overnight. You know, and a staff would seem to be like a dead wood, wouldn't it? And in the morning, Aaron's staff had sprouted with leaves and buds and almonds, a sign of God at work where everything seemed hopeless, new life out of what seemed dead. So God brings hope out of tiny beginnings. And, you know, shoots can seem really innocuous, don't they? Those of us who are gardeners know that when we're transplanting a seedling, you must never hold it by the stem because it can break. You have to hold it by the leaf because it's so fragile. But a shoot can push through tarmac. And it's a bit like the church, isn't it? A tiny shoot started by frightened men in a room in Jerusalem started the church with the help of the Spirit. So God gives hope and new life when all seems dead. And I hope for anyone here who is perhaps feeling that God does seem distant, that things do seem hopeless, that you can hang on to that hope that God can and does bring new life. And that hope of peace. Now, I was reading about how in the early 1980s, people in a church in Leipzig, in East Germany, were praying about the communist regime under which they lived. In the early 1980s, there were just about 12 people would meet to pray. By 1989, 7 years later, there were 8,000 people at one of those prayer meetings, and there were tens of thousands more people outside the church praying because they couldn't get into the church. The state was threatening to close down these rallies by whatever means necessary. The church decided to move out onto the streets and pray there, and there were doctors setting up emergency clinics to deal with the bloodshed that they were expecting. But as they walked past the secret police headquarters, they were chanting, no violence. And miraculously, there was none. It carried on in a state of peace. Within a week, there were 120,000 people attending those prayer rallies. And 3 weeks later, the Berlin Wall fell peacefully. And a communist officer later said, we were prepared for every eventuality, but not for candles and not for prayers. Tiny shoots, unexpected outcomes, nothing too hard for a God of power and a God of peace. And then finally, God gives a future. Isaiah was looking both to the medium future, when the king would come, which we have seen fulfilled in Jesus, so it's in our past, but he was also looking for that future yet to come, wasn't he? The new heaven and the new earth, where the seemingly impossible can happen. You know, I'm an ecologist, and I'm thinking, lions and lambs? Not very likely, is it? But that's the point, isn't it? Think of the most unlikely, unexpected, impossible thing, and this is what our God can do. Even creation itself is going to be rescued from that mess that we talked about. And we pray for this every time we say for the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Your kingdom come, we say. And we look forward to that time when the heavens are going to be permanently ripped open. That God is with his people permanently. Where we see justice in all things, the wisdom, the understanding, the righteousness, where peace reigns, with Jesus reigning over all, and the knowledge of him is all around the world. So what does this mean for us? Well, I haven't got time to talk about all of Romans 15, which is a fantastic passage, but I particularly want to mention verse 8, where it says that... It's to confirm the promises made by the patriarchs. Christ has confirmed the promises made by the patriarchs. And we see that, don't we? We can claim that promise that has been met. And that means that we can hang on to that hope of that future. And I'd like to suggest that it's a really good time for us to do our own personal review of 2022. What has it meant for us? And there's maybe two things you might like to do, or you might like to do one of these things. Firstly, let's look up to God in our review. Have you and I remembered to worship Jesus as our all-powerful King? What can we hold on to give us hope if we're feeling God is distant or there's something really difficult in our life? Is it some verses in the Bible? Because again, you know, in Romans it says that the word is there to help us, to give us hope. Are there verses that you find really helpful? Is there a promise kept, perhaps back in the past, that you can remember, oh yes, God did that, I'll trust him to do it again? Is there an answer to prayer you can remember? An encounter with God? Maybe singing songs like "The Goodness of God" helps you to look up and remember what God's done. That's a good one for me. When I'm out walking, I really like to play songs, so that one works for me. Maybe it's time with encouraging friends. Because sometimes faith isn't about feeling we believe, is it? Sometimes faith is choosing to believe, even though it's tough. So let's look up to God and think about, what have we experienced in 2022 that helped us and gives us hope? And then looking in. You know, Jesus had the Spirit on him. David had the Spirit on him. We have the Spirit too, don't we, if we believe and trust in Jesus. And I think that gives us a responsibility. As citizens of that kingdom where Jesus reigns, we also have to think about how we behave. Do we act justly and compassionately? Do we try not to judge other people? Do we try not to listen to the hearsay and the gossip? Maybe there's a spiritual area you would like to grow in, or maybe we could look back to when we were doing that series on the fruit of the Spirit and think, oh yeah, what was it I was praying for? Which fruit was it? And maybe you'll feel encouraged when you realise that you have grown in that area. So let's look in a little bit as well and reflect on what God's been doing in our lives and where he might want us to go next. So, just a fantastic passage, I think, Isaiah. You know, this promise of the King, but also this promise of love and hope and a future through Christ. So as I said, the people of ancient Israel had to wait for 7 centuries for God to come to them. And we can rejoice, can't we? Because we've seen that promise come true. He did come. He did rend the heavens. He did come down. And he is with us now. And so we're going to reflect on that in our next song, which is O Come, Emmanuel. So perhaps you'd like to stand and we will sing that together.
Until the Son of God. We rejoice indeed that Emmanuel has come, and we're going now to pray his presence and his blessing into our lives and our world. And we're going to use these words, O come, Emmanuel, and that will be your response as well. Loving Father, we heard in that reading from Romans that everything written in the scripture was written to teach us, so that through the endurance that your word teaches and the encouragement that it provides, we might have hope. Help us to dwell in your wonderful word this Advent and draw hope from it and share this hope with others. And as we wait on you for guidance for future developments and changes in our lives, individually and as your people here, may your word resonate for us. Speak to us, we pray. Lord, you know there are so many people in this country and in other parts of the world who have little or no hope that their situation will improve. Whether it's because of the crippling price of food and heating here, or the loss of heating, light and water supplies, and the ongoing bombardment in Ukraine. We pray, Lord, for practical alleviation in these situations, but also for the Christmas message of hope to break into their darkness. O come, Emmanuel. Lord, we heard from Isaiah a description of the just leader, filled with the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We earnestly pray for all Christians in politics, locally, nationally and internationally, that they may boldly speak your truth into the situations and the decisions where they are involved. And we pray too for our royal family, and that King Charles may look to you for wisdom as he prepares a Christian message. May he point us to you, Lord, as his inspiration, as his mother did. O come, Emmanuel. Lord, we hold before you our Christmas leaflets. If you raise your heads for a moment, you'll see that I'm holding one before the Lord. We pray for every one of the events and services within the community listed in that leaflet. We pray for your blessing and your presence in each one. We pray that these leaflets, as they're distributed, may be read, and that many will be drawn to come to one of the services or other events set out in the leaflet. We pray a blessing on our community, for all who live within the parishes of St. Andrew's and All Saints, and especially on those who've moved into new homes on the housing development, which we see right in front of us when we go out through the church door. We pray for our local schools as the end of term approaches, and especially for all Christian students, teachers and governors. We pray blessing on our local shops and pubs, and on the Octagon and the Wells Village Hall. And we also pray for our brothers and sisters at St. Mary's and for the Pickersley area at this time of challenge and change. Lord, will you give wisdom to all involved in that situation, that your way may be found. O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, will you draw close to those who've recently been bereaved, and especially to our dear Chris Jackson, whose father died yesterday. Draw close to those receiving treatment or awaiting the result of tests, to those for whom Christmas is a sad and difficult time of year. And we pray too for strength, refreshment and encouragement for all Christian leaders and ministers, and especially for Dave and our ministry team at this busy time, with so many opportunities to share the message of your coming. In the silence, let's lift to the Lord those who are particularly on our hearts. O come, Emmanuel. As we say now the words of the Lord's Prayer together, let's invest them with all that we've been thinking about, all that Judith has shared, our longing to see Emmanuel, God with us, manifest among us at this time. So as our Saviour taught us, we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Heather. It's been a special time together. I know that God will have been speaking to all of us in different ways. I hope you've been able to listen for a word that will enable us and create a present encounter with Jesus. It may happen in time, in the next few hours or weeks even, something we'll hold on to from today that's been God's gift to us. And we might share that gift, that blessing with others. Please do just take the opportunity to give that leaflet to those in our parish. We're very grateful to those who have already done that. There are still just a few piles left, a few streets still to be given. Because it's our Christingle service next Sunday at 4 at All Saints. And it would be great everybody in the parish has the opportunity to know about that and to be able to come and worship the light of the world. So let's conclude our service by standing and singing a great hymn, a great song of hallelujah, that great word, rejoicing in the person of Jesus present among us. Let's stand together.
honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
So may God be with us on our journey toward Christmas. Help us to go deeper into what is real until we are brought to the wonder of your birth and know your incarnate love afresh. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may overflow, abound in hope. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you and all whom you love this Advent time and always. Amen. As we await our coming Saviour, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.